But to just share a little bit about our experience before I have the rest of our team share. It was a good experience, but it didn't start off that way for us. The plans we had originally did not go the way we wanted it. And because of that, we had to change a lot of things. We kind of did things on the fly, and kind of day by day, we were figuring things out. And by the grace of God, we were able to do a lot of things through Him, through His strength, through His power. The mission field was not the way we expected, but again, by His grace, He was able to move through us and use us. So, just keeping that in mind, I'll just share a little bit more about that in my message. Just have the rest of the team just share about our experiences. And we'll have some pictures. I have maybe like 6 or 7 pictures we can just look through while they're sharing as well. So the first person who'll be sharing is our brother Zach, who is actually not from our church. He is a guest. He bravely came with us on the trip with a bunch of strangers. He's going to share a little bit about his experience there. So let's give him a hand.
Hi, everyone. So when I was preparing to go to Trinidad, I tried not to have any expectations. Mostly because I don't want to set the bar too high or be disappointed, but later that became difficult because everyone around me was talking about their previous mission trips and their experiences, so I began to try to expect the same thing, so I kind of had to calm down. And that was only one difficulty. Another hardship might have been that a lot of the locals had accents, but that wasn't the problem. It's just some of my team didn't understand it, so I kind of had to explain it to them later. So someone could have asked us, what time is the VBS today? Half of us would answer 3 o'clock, and the other half would answer Pastor Paul or something like that. Also, some of us, I didn't talk too loudly, so as much as we'd be asking them to repeat themselves, they'd be asking me to repeat myself. A big challenge for me was in VBS, the children didn't always want to listen to what Daniel and I had to say. Daniel and I were teaching children 6 to 8 years old. It seemed as if they always wanted exactly what, the opposite of what we were giving. We had to overcome that by rewarding them with little things, like giving them candy after they memorized the verse. One of my favorite things about going to Trinidad was seeing how inspired and joyful the children would get when they finally understood the memory verse or won the game. In one instance, I was working with a girl named Rosie. Everyone else in the VBS group was working on memorizing the verse, and she just couldn't get it. But I could tell she really wanted to learn, so when everybody else memorized the verse and went to play football with Matt, she'd come sit with me, and I would go over the verse very slowly. I'd say something like, so Jesus had walked on water because he had faith in God, and he also had a friend with him named Peter. And then when he tried to do it, he did it for a while, but then he started drowning because he lost faith. And then I would ask her, how was Jesus able to walk on water? And she'd smile really wide and say, because she had faith in God. In conclusion, I just really want to thank the church for this opportunity to bond with the children of VBS and bond with the people in the nursing homes and give hope to the children in the orphanages and really just spread Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Okay, so my name is Matthew, and I'm gonna be All right, I'm going to be sharing about, like, more about, like, our trips to, like, the elderly homes. So, while we were at the short-term missions, we were able to visit two elderly homes. And for me, it was, like, personally, it was kind of difficult because, like, I'm not really good at, like, making conversation with, like, complete strangers. And, like, it was even more difficult because they were, like, older people and some of them couldn't hear very well. And sometimes I couldn't, like, understand them. So I had to, like, either make them repeat it, like, many times. And I, like, tried not to offend them. And I had to be like, can you repeat that again? And, like, it was, like, really awkward because, like, the conversations would be, like, I would, like, say something and then there'd be, like, an awkward silence. And I'm like, maybe they didn't hear me. And then I'd have to repeat it. So the first time, it was really difficult. And leaving that elderly home the first time, like, it didn't feel very successful. I felt like I didn't do that much. Like, I kind of felt like my team, like, did more than I did, and I felt like I was kind of weighing them down. Yeah, and then afterwards, like, one day when we debriefed, I think Adelaide made this point that that no matter, like, what we do there, we don't need to, like, see direct results and, like, have, like, instant, like, feedback, and, like, they don't have to, like, respond to us and, like, be, like, super happy or whatever. And just us, like, being there and, like, showing God's loving and, like, having them notice that, like, oh, these Christians that came to us, they're a little different than the other people we see, and, like, maybe Christianity is like something special. Sorry, something special that, like, we could show God's love that way just by being there. And so the second time we went there, as we went on, also with, like, some help with Betsy, she, like, also shared some advice saying that, like, with people that don't talk a lot, we should, like, ramble a lot and talk about ourselves. I was able to, like, learn about the like, elderly people. I was able to, like, they, like, told me about, like, their like, family and, like, their story growing up in Trinidad, and it's pretty awesome. And actually, there's this, like, this one lady that that when we went to the second time to a different elderly home, when we got there, she immediately asked, "Is Matthew here?" And so I was like, "Yes, sure." And then I went over there, and somehow she was like, "Oh, I remember you from last time." But of course, since I had, like, never been in Trinidad except for this time, it was obviously someone else, and I tried, like, to not break the news to her by like, avoiding her. I just, like, tried not talking to her a lot, and I don't know, it was really weird. But, like, at the end, like, she really wanted to, like, pray with me and like, talk to me. She was, like, kind of sad that she couldn't talk to someone she knew before. But so she, like, prayed for me, and it was, like, it was really nice. She, like, prayed for, like, my well-being and, like, future or whatever. And, like, somehow I felt a little guilty because I knew I wasn't the person she knew. But, like, inside I was, like, it's really nice, like, seeing, like, these old people, like, really happy to see us here. And, like, since they don't get to, like, leave the elderly homes that often, and they're just kind of, like, stuck here, that it was pretty awesome. So afterwards, like, at the end, I realized, like, I kind of summarized it in conclusion afterwards, that, like, you don't really need to, like, see huge, like, instant, like, conversions or whatever to, like, be able to spread God's love. Yeah. That's it.
Hello, so my name is Jenny, and I will be sharing about the children's home that we went to. So the first home, the kids all had AIDS, and so, but even though they had AIDS, they were all, like, very, and, like, energetic, HIV, but all of them were, like, very, like, happy and energetic and playful, and they were all really excited to see us. So first we did a skit for them, and then afterwards we made gospel bracelets. All of them wanted one, especially the girls. So while making the bracelets, we would explain to them what each of the colors meant. And so all the kids liked their bracelet. And then this one lady called me over and asked me if I could make one for the baby. And then she continued to say that so that God will love the baby too. And so after making the bracelets, we played a couple of games with them, and all of them were very pumped and excited to play. So excited that they broke their bracelets and bees were just flying everywhere. So a few days later, we went to an all boys home. And we did the same thing that we did at the other home, but these kids didn't seem so excited to see us. Slowly, the more we talked to them, the more they opened up to us. We made bracelets and explained the different colors, and we started to play games with them. That's when they started to get energetic and we got to know them better. After we left, we learned that they usually don't get visitors and that they have a hard time making ends meet because they're not a government-funded home. So, in conclusion, it was a great experience and opportunity to visit both of these children homes because we were able to reach these children and show them God's love through our interactions with them. I learned that when you make an attempt to share about God, you should change your strategy and do it based on how you think the kids will learn. For these kids, doing crafts and playing games gets them excited and more willing to listen because we're making an attempt to have fun with them. Thank you for listening.
Hey, I'm Daniel, and I'm going to be sharing a bit about our team's experience at a crusade we went to. So the event was actually held over 3 nights, but we only got to attend one of them. So on the night that we went, the crusade was under a really big tent, and when we went there, it was like a carnival. There were kids running around, there was music playing, there were tattoos, balloon animals, a bunch of like cool fun stuff. And everyone was really excited. It was really festive and fun. So after the service started, everyone came under the tent, and we had worship. But right after worship started, everyone got really hyped up again, because Trinidadians are like that. They're all about worship. They're all about praise. It was just really cool, because they really, like, sing their hearts out, and they're all about, like, moving around and stuff. And so I'm like a pretty timid Asian guy, so like I don't usually go to that sort of thing a lot. So it was just really cool to be able to experience that like a different form of worship like that, and I actually really enjoyed that even though it was kind of out of the ordinary for me. So earlier I said we attended the crusade, but we didn't just do that. We actually performed a skit at the crusade. So Paul calls it the Rag Man skit, but I'm not sure if that's the actual name. And so how it works was that I played a Jesus figure, and so in the skit, the Jesus figure would take away the sicknesses and the sufferings of people who would come by him, and eventually he took away the death of one of the other characters, and he died himself. But we know Jesus came back from the dead, and so that's what I did. So originally, when I was doing it, I was pretty skeptical about how people would react to it, because I was like, oh, they probably have this sort of thing all the time. They probably see this a lot. I'm not a very good actor, so they're probably not going to understand it. Oh, and the skit doesn't have any words either, so it's just kind of, I feel like it can be hard to comprehend. So I was just like not feeling great about it. But then after the skit and after the crusade, people came up to us. They were like, oh, hey, thanks for performing. That was, it really moved me. And it was just really great to be able to see that something I was like almost against doing was able to move someone and maybe help them understand God and his word a bit better. So that was really great too. So after the skit, there was a pastor, and he gave a message, and it was short, but it was a really powerful message about breaking free of the chains that prevent God from blessing us. And I'm not going to go through the message, but this is how Matthew described it. The pastor was so intense that when he finished speaking, his shirt was two different colors from his dripping sweat. So, yeah, like I was saying before, they're really enthusiastic people, and it's like a different form of worship, and that was great. So, yeah, when the crusade ended, people came up to us, they were talking to us, everyone was really friendly, a really loving atmosphere, and we have that here too, but it was just really different there, and I really enjoyed being able to experience that the different forms of way they have for caring for their visitors and stuff. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, this is a lot of words, so bear with me here. But hi, if we've never been properly introduced, my name is Betsy Chow, and I was a youth leader for this mission trip. And I will be talking more specifically about the vacation Bible school aspect of the trip. So when we first set out, like Paul said, our goal was to actually hold a week-long children's summer camp in a village called Campu, and we worked with Trinidad and Tobago Urban Ministries, which I will say that name a lot, so I will say TTUM instead. So before our mission, TTUM actually warned us that this particular area is known to be just basically incredibly unresponsive towards Christianity and their outreach efforts. So the day before the camp, we really prepared ourselves. We prepared our VBS materials, we practiced our skits, we practiced Muppet moving, we practiced the Muppet skits too, and then we also went door to door in the village to let the people know about our program, and they were all really nice. But it was weird because despite hours and hours of just house visitations and conversing with a really friendly community, on the first day only one kid showed up, and it was actually someone who we already knew, like someone who went to the church there, their kid. So, yeah, the team was very disappointed, but we kept our heads high. We even revisited houses up until, like, the last minute of the camp to try to reach the community. And that night, during a team meeting, we were talking about how we all were kind of disappointed. But most importantly, the team members, they were sharing their understanding of God's timing, as well as their determination to hold a successful VBS camp in a different location if that was God willing. So as a leader, I thought that their maturity and their willpower was really, really encouraging. So the next day, we headed to a different place called Goat Hill, which coincidentally is the same place that previous team members held VBS in 2013. So Goat Hill's VBS actually proved to be a huge success. Many of us made great personal relationships with the kids there, although, like Zach said, it was very hard to keep up with them sometimes in terms of their accents and also their children, and they just have, like, random bursts of energy at odd times, which might have been because of the candy that we gave them, but that's okay. So, yeah, it was hard to keep up with them, but we really did our best to convey God's love through the skits, through the Muppet shows, crafts, brief lessons, and really just talking, interacting with them like actual people. The weather was also strangely forgiving. Every day, Goat Hill was really just bustling. It was very lively, and anywhere you went, you could just hear children laughing, which is always a great sign. So this one personal moment for me that I had during the camp was when there was a young girl in my group. Her name was Liana. She was having a bit of difficulty throughout the week memorizing the Bible verses of the day, and by that I mean she didn't get any of them. So throughout the camp, we encouraged the children to memorize the Bible verses and learn about the Bible stories. And like I said, we use candy as an incentive. No one needs to know. Okay, so during the week, Liana had extreme difficulty, and through her friend Nalini, they're really close friends, I learned that Liana was actually held back a year in school. And not only that, but I was surprised because some of the parents that helped out in our camp, they told me that trying to help her memorize the Bible verse was going to take extra long and that I shouldn't push myself too hard in trying to help her. So I'm never really one to back down from a challenge. So I just sat down with her privately, and as the kids were playing games, we would recite the verses back and forth with each other. The verse was, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15:5. So then I would send her off to go play, and then when she came back, I would ask her what the verse was, since I thought that was a more effective way instead of just like trying to drill it into her right there. So there were a lot of times where she would just say, "I give up," and she had this really resigned look on her face. Like she was probably annoyed with me or something, but whatever. I just kept pushing her to memorize the verse in smaller parts. So at the end of the day, when it's quizzing time, I quizzed her on the verse, and she said it almost perfectly, but I just let it slide. She just said it most of it pretty well. So seeing this as an opportunity to kind of celebrate and encourage her, I lifted her up and I started screaming. So I was really alarming the mothers and the other children. But that's cool. And also I gave her like 5 extra portions of like cookies and chips and stuff because it's whatever. It's okay, right, Paul? It's okay. So the most amazing thing to me was that she would continue repeating the verse even after she had gotten her prize, and she would just want to tell me it. And I think every time she did that, I just couldn't help but smile. Every time she said John 15:5, I was just like screaming, again, alarming the people in the area. But if we were to kind of look at that, right, look at that experience, I would hope that we could be as adamant in our faith as she was in memorizing the Bible verse on the last day of EBS. Like her, sometimes the easiest and most convenient way is to give up, which was a strange pattern that I saw all throughout the mission trip, from like the not being able to serve in Kampu and talking to old people, making them repeat themselves and feeling awkward. It's just really convenient for us to give up. But with encouragement from our brothers and sisters and a strong sense of perseverance, we can very easily get back from where we stopped and continue pressing on and fighting the good fight. And then, and only then, can we get our awesome, amazing heavenly reward. Or in Liana's case, sugary reward. That's fine. So thank you for all your spiritual strength, guys, your well wishes, your generous donations. They have been a great blessing to me and I'm sure all the other members throughout the trip. And yeah, again, just thank you so much for the time and effort spent on my behalf. And thanks for listening.
As our team members shared, Trinidad was quite an experience. Seems like they had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun too. But most of all, we like Betsy was saying, we like to thank God and thank all of you for supporting us through your prayers, financial support. Just seeing that type of support was really, really special. We really appreciated it. And yeah, we give glory to God for those things. Before I share a message, let me just pray for us and get into it. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word, as we look at how you move throughout this world, Lord, as how you continue to pour out blessing after blessing, how you show grace after grace, not only to us, but people all over the world, to people in Trinidad, to people in China, wherever they may be, Lord, we just give glory to you. We thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God, that you are a strong and powerful God that is willing to save us, Lord. So, Lord, as we just reflect on what your word has to say for us regarding missions, regarding our role here as Christians for the purpose of missions, Lord, we just humbly ask for you to just show us a little bit more of what you want us to know, of the teachings you have for us, so that we can better honor you and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, short-term missions, there's some debate about short-term missions. If you talk to some Christians, they will tell you that they do not support short-term missions at all. They'll say it's a waste of time. They cause more damage than they do good. And I've had lengthy conversations with those people, and I've heard a lot of good reasons for them to share those feelings. A lot of missionaries, they come in doing all of this ministry, investing a lot into this short period of time. They're doing VBS as we did, doing a lot of programs, a lot of crafts, whatever it might be. And now, after the short-term missionaries leave, the long-term missionaries are just there trying to kind of recapture that short burst of energy. And a lot of the times they can't. It's unreasonable. It's unrealistic. And it's a struggle for a lot of missionaries. That's one reason. Another reason is a lot of short-term mission teams, especially from America, they have their own agenda. A lot of short-term mission trips were like, oh, we're going to do this, do this, do this, and do this. And there's no regard for what the people there, the long-term missionaries there, are actually doing. So what ends up happening is these short-term missionaries, they go in and they pull away from what the long-term missionaries are doing. And so they have to accommodate these people from America, right, thinking they can save the world, and then they can't do the work that they've already been doing. That's another reason. Third reason is money. Most people will say that short-term mission trips are so costly and monetarily inefficient, right? A lot of mission trips who go out and like build homes and things like that, and they spend thousands of dollars to build these homes. But you could have actually paid someone there to build the home for so much cheaper. But no, we have to go there, right? And we have to build these homes. We have to do the work, right? So for these reasons, a lot of people say short-term mission trips are pointless. They do more harm. And a lot of the time, like I shared, we have this hero complex, right? We think, oh, we can make a change. We can do it. We can do amazing things. And especially in American sports, we call it hero ball, right? Especially in basketball, we call it hero ball. If you watch the NBA playoffs, that's like the commercials, like playing hero ball. And it's very suitable for us to call us that because we as privileged people living in America, we think we are heroes. We have this hero complex, right? We think we have the ultimate confidence in our abilities, that we can do whatever challenges are ahead. But the truth is, sometimes we're not good enough, right? There's only one person who played hero ball, and that's Michael Jordan, the only person who ever played hero ball. And we're not Michael Jordan, guys, I'm sorry. There's only one Michael Jordan. And just because we have Air Jordans doesn't mean we're Michael Jordan. That's the truth of the matter. We have to humble ourselves to some degree to understand that when we go out there into the mission field, we cannot think of what we can do, of what our abilities are. And we have to simply do what God has called us to do. And on our trip, there was a huge temptation for us to have this hero complex. When things weren't going well for us, we could have been like, no, we're going to do it. We're going to do VBS for that one kid. No, we're going to do it. We're going to go there and do what we were planning to do this whole time. But by God's grace, we didn't do that. We were able to see the bigger picture. We are able to understand that, you know, we are called to be a part of God's work, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter what we planned or we didn't plan. In the mission field, things are so fluid and crazy, and that's how it was for us. And ultimately, we were humbled. We were humbled by the fact that sometimes we can't do what we thought we were going to do. We can't always do what we're planning to do. You know, we as Americans, we have this like 5-10 year plan. But sometimes it doesn't work out that way, even in our regular lives. And sometimes we just have to come before God, ask Him for help. And I think for a lot of us on the team, on this trip, we were truly humbled. We're truly humbled, and we really had to rely on God. And we were humbled by the fact that no matter how well we thought we were, we prepared, how great of a mindset or heart we even had, that people there were not ready to listen to the gospel. And that's why our brother David read a passage for us today from Luke 9. Sharing about how Jesus and his disciples going into a Samaritan village and being rejected. And this is Jesus. It's not like us. This is Jesus, God Himself, God incarnate, being rejected. And what does He do? He doesn't just stay there. Like, oh no, save these dang Samaritans, what do they do? They move on. And that sounds absurd, right? Jesus kind of letting things go. But even for Jesus, he knew about timing. He knew that there, at that moment, in that point, they just weren't ready. They just weren't ready to hear the gospel. And in the same way, we had to move on. Just as Jesus and his disciples did, we had to move on from what we thought we had to do. What we thought we had to do in Kampu. And our whole ministry was going to be based there. For 5 days, in the mornings and even in the afternoons, we were going to do visitations. But we had to scrap all of that. And as Jesus sent his disciples out of that Samaritan village, we had to do the same. And we can learn a lot from this passage. It really does parallel what we went through. A little bit of history. The Jews and the Samaritans have had a lot of tension. A lot of tension from a long time ago. Long, long time ago. Way before Jesus. And there's been this hatred for such a long time. And these people are basically like the same people group. Like, they're all like Chinese people. Think of it that way. They're basically the same race, but they're so culturally different. They have so many different religions and different customs that they just hated each other so much because of these differences. There's so much tension because of this, and their culture has just clashed so much. And in Trinidad, you see a lot of that too. A lot of Hindus and Muslims. There's a lot of tension between those groups and Christians. And we could sense that. We could sense that there. Like, as we were kind of walking around that area, I was talking to one of the local Trinidad church people in Kampu, and she was saying that a Hindu temple started doing a VBS. And they called it VBS. And the reason why is because they were threatened. They were threatened by these Christians coming in, doing these programs for these children. They're like, oh, we have to do something. And these Christians call it VBS, so we'll call it VBS. Not knowing that it has to do with the Bible, right? Vacation Bible School. Right? I was just like, what? Do they not understand what it means? But that's the type of tension going on. It's deep spiritual warfare. There's no other way to put it. It is spiritual warfare here. And especially with Hinduism and Islam, there's a lot of cultural identity in those religions. It's part of who you are. It's part of your birth. It's part of your cultural identity. For us, religion is not really part of our cultural identity, and I think we can actually learn a little bit from that, that our belief in Christ should invade our culture and should really impact how we live out our culture. But, you know, that's not what I'm here to talk about. But it just takes a lot more time with that type of spiritual warfare, a lot more time, energy, and prayer to work in those areas. And I think Jesus knew that in the Samaritan village in that time, they just weren't ready to hear the gospel. They weren't ready for him. And as he had to move on, and his disciples had to move on, we had to move on. So this trip has taught us many things about sharing the gospel. And I just want to share three things, you know, that I've kind of highlighted before, but I'll go into deeper a little bit right now. And I hope that all of us can be challenged, encouraged, and can even just learn a little bit about what it means to share the gospel. So the first thing I learned is that sharing the gospel is really hard. It is really hard. And all of you can probably attest to that if you have ever tried to share the gospel. It is really, really, really hard. And I just want to emphasize it here because I don't want us to be discouraged because it's hard. I want us to be encouraged that even though it is hard, we have a God who can help us, that we can rely on. And just kind of from my own experience, the hardest time for me in terms of sharing the gospel was when I was in high school. And I had these atheist friends. I might have shared this a little bit before, but I had these two atheist friends who were totally against religion, just completely against it, totally bashing it all the time. Like, our lunchroom conversations would be about, like, oh, the Bible's so stupid. Why do you believe in this junk? The book is 2,000 years old. How do you trust in that junk? And I would hear this, like, every day at lunch. And I would try so hard to explain what I believed, to explain why Jesus is so great, and why I believe in someone that is of that is the Son of God, that He who saved our sins. And the concept just didn't register to them. They're like, what? Jesus? You know, and all they could think of was a Talladega Nights. Baby Jesus. That's all they would refer to. Baby Jesus. Dear baby Jesus. Thank you for this. Domino's and Popeye's, whatever. You know, that's from the movie. And that's what they would talk about to me. Like, do you pray to baby Jesus? I'm like, no, I don't pray to baby Jesus. But that's the type of ridicule I went through in high school. Because I genuinely wanted to share the gospel, but it, as a high schooler, I just wasn't as equipped, and I tried to explain why Jesus is real and all these things, but obviously they didn't buy it. But that was the first moment where I realized, man, sharing the gospel is so hard. It is extremely hard. And it's hard because, for one, it takes a lot of courage to share the gospel. Like, for me, it took a lot of courage even to just bring it up and to talk about being a Christian, especially in a place where they were really bashing against Christians. And, you know, to go on a mission trip and do it is one thing. You know, you're with a support system and you're there for that reason. But here at home, how hard is it to even have the courage to share your convictions? Have the courage to share that you are a believer in Christ? Especially within, you know, living in the context here. Where we get to freely worship, right? We have the freedom of religion. We don't really have persecution. But there is resistance. There is spiritual warfare. And it can be a struggle. And, you know, when we go through those experiences, when it is hard to share the gospel, when people are so resistant, when it's hard to even have the courage to do so, we can really see that the only way that people can really know Christ is if God works in their hearts. And we can do all that we want to share the gospel, explain Christ, bring them to church, bring them to youth group and Oasis, whatever. But at the end of the day, God has to open their hearts. And not everyone will accept the truth. And I think that there is a reason for that. You know, God is a God of grace and love, but God is also a God of justice who will show His wrath, show His power through His wrath. And that's what the Bible tells us about God, that there will be some who will receive grace and love and mercy and kindness, but others who will be punished, who will be condemned. And the reason, I think, is that we have to see the God of wrath in order to see the God of grace. We have to see how much we deserve to die, and how powerful God is, and how quickly He can destroy us. And then see that how good the grace of God truly is. How else could we understand grace without God's judgment? And so because of that, there will be some who do not know the gospel. And that is the sad reality of the world we live in. But that should not discourage us from continuing to reach our brothers and sisters for the name of Christ. Christ has called us to share the gospel. And as Christians, we should all have this passion and desire to share what we have. Right? Like, when we sing these songs, we say we're satisfied in Him. We completely enjoy Him. If you truly believe that, you would want to share that. You want to share that satisfaction you have in Christ, the joy and peace and comfort that you have in something that is so much better than anything the world could offer. ultimately, it is God who does that work. God opens those doors, and everything is dependent on Him. It doesn't matter how well we give a message, doesn't matter how well we do at VBS, doesn't matter how well we care for our neighbors or love our neighbors. It's about God moving through those things. It's about God moving through the message that you share. About God moving through the VBS that you do. It's about God moving through the love and care you show for your neighbors. It's about God moving through us and in us. And His Spirit speaking through us and moving through us. So this leads me to my next point. Sharing the gospel is not about the messenger, but about the message. Again, sharing the gospel is not about the messenger, but about the message. There is very little that we can offer on the mission field. The work of missions is always and will always be about God. About Him. About the message of Him. And it will be not. It won't be about us who are the messengers. Right? It's not about us as messengers or short-term missionaries. Everything we do has been a result of God's grace and power doing good work through us. It is God who empowers, God who strengthens. So when it comes to sharing the gospel, we have to get out of the way. We can't be so full of ourselves. You know, we can't think, oh, I'm here to make a difference. Oh, I'm going to make this change. That is absolutely the wrong mindset to have as Christians, as people who share the gospel. You know, who do we think we are? How can we possibly think that we can do anything without Christ? How are we able to even make a difference? Who saves us? God saves us. We don't save ourselves. Isn't it God alone who poured His grace through His Son Jesus Christ to us? Isn't it God alone who justifies? Isn't it God alone who even sanctifies you and purifies your heart and helps you grow as a Christian? It all stems and comes from God. When has it ever been about you? And missions, sharing the gospel, it's not about you. It's not about me. Even being a Christian is not about you. It's about glorifying Christ. It's about God and what He's done for us and who He is, being on the throne of heaven and heaven above. Being in total awe of what He's done and who He is for us. So we don't do the work by our own strength. God does the work for us. And I hope that this truth is something that is reassuring for us. Because again, sharing the gospel is extremely hard. It's extremely challenging. It takes a lot of courage to do so. It takes a lot of courage to go on mission trips. But I hope that this is comforting in a sense, because when we are left to our own devices, all we do is mess things up. All we do is screw things up. That's just who we are as human beings, as people, as broken, sinful people. We just mess it up. And we do not have control, because God has said, you screw ups, I got to do something about this. So He's the one who comes in and takes control of your life. So we do not have the control. Our trip this year, we did not have control. Things did not go our way. But that's okay. Actually, it's better than okay. Praise God that it didn't go according to our plan. Praise God that He had a greater plan for us. And we were simply there to answer that call. when we are able to rely on Him and trust in Him and allow Him to take control of our hearts and of our lives and our plans to Him, when we offer it all up to Him and surrender it all up to Him, God does a good work through it. Because God has a good and perfect plan for us. And we know that because that is the promise He made to us. The promise He made through His Word. So thank God it is not about the messenger. And this leads me to my final point. Sharing the gospel is dependent on God's plan and timing. Like I've been sharing throughout this message, the gospel is not dependent on us. Sometimes we go to places and we get rejected. We share the gospel and we get rejected. Just like Jesus and the Samaritans got rejected. Jesus and the disciples got rejected by the Samaritans. There are times when people are not ready and their hearts are not open. But that's okay. That's all right. God has His own timing. God has His own plan. So we should not be discouraged. For us, on our trip, it was easy for us to feel discouraged. Right? Like, what if we had VBS at our church and only like one kid came? I think the church would go in uproar. It's like, what is this? Why is no one coming? Blah, blah, blah. It'd be like crazy. But for us, we knew that we had to just simply trust in God and trust that He does the work. That we are simply there to do the work that He has called us to do, to just relay the message of Christ, to share the love of Christ, to be the light of Christ in this community. And if they're not willing to receive, then we just have to pray that God would open their hearts one day. It's not our job to make people believe. That's not what missionaries do. They don't go there to make people believe. That doesn't work. You know, I'm not saying that the gospel will not be preached in Kampu. To the contrary, I think that there will be a concerted effort made there because people are invested there. And it's a long-term work. It's a long-term ordeal to do the work of Christ. And it doesn't mean we should give up. Sometimes we just have to move on. We don't have to give up. But sometimes we do need to let God handle it and just offer it up to Him and pray to Him for guidance. Just to share some examples that might be closer to home. I know of many brothers and sisters who have prayed for certain people in their family or certain friends, and it has taken years for their prayers to be answered. It's taken years. I had one brother, he prayed for this one friend. He prayed for him for like 10 years, that God would open his heart to the gospel. And after 10 years, his friend told him one day that, oh, I started going to church. And he couldn't believe it. He was like, what the? What? Something he prayed about for 10 years. This guy was like 50 when he found out that his friend started going to church. These are the things that we have to do. We have to continue to pray. Continue to trust in God that He has that timing and plan. And it won't be a matter of seconds sometimes. You know, sometimes we go to like revivals or crusades and, you know, all these people come to Christ. We're like, oh, wow. God has moved so powerfully. Look, like thousands of people coming to Christ. A lot of the time it doesn't work like that. It takes a long, long time. But again, that's not according to our timing. We can't be fixated on our own timing. We have to simply offer it up to God and let Him take care of it. Another example I want to share is from a sister we met in Trinidad, Cindy. She was the person who kind of was with us the whole time during our trip. She was a great help. And she works over there with TTUM. And we just got to talking a little bit just about each other's lives. And she was sharing about her her family, and particularly about her husband. And for a long time, she would be going to church with the kids without the husband. And that's a very common story even here at our church or even in America in general. But for a long time, she was praying for her husband to be open to the message of Christ. And after many, many, many years, her husband one day asked her, "Can I go to church with you?" And she was like, "Oh, what? Okay." And then that day, during that service, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And we met her husband, Ricardo. He's been doing a lot of things at the church. He's a part of the men's ministry. He's heavily involved. And that took so much time. Cindy was praying for years for him to be open to hearing the gospel. And obviously, God was doing a work in him. God was doing a work in Ricardo, because the only way for him to just go to church and be, "Oh, okay, I'll be a Christian," was that God was working in him this whole time. The gospel is not dependent on our timing. The gospel will be shared. The nations will glorify Christ according to his timing. We are simply there to be facilitating, to be praying, and to be the instruments that God uses. We have no control of how God will use us. We need to trust that he has a good and perfect plan for us. And as we continue to live out the theme for this year, reach one to teach one, I hope this last portion is an encouragement that we do not give up. I know all of us have siblings, have family members, have close friends who do not know Christ. People close to us who do not know Christ. And sometimes it feels like it's pointless. Sometimes it feels like, what can I do? It might be a brother, a sister, a mom or dad. And you've been praying. And you've been crying out to God, "Lord, would you please open their hearts to your gospel? Would you open their hearts to Christ, to see how good Christ is, to see the amazing love that he has, that he is better than anything that we could ever imagine, that he is the truth." I'm sure some of us have prayed these prayers, and some of us feel like we're giving up. But I hope that we know that God is listening to those prayers. And it may take a long time. It may take 10, 15, 20. It may take the rest of your life. But trust in God that he will answer those prayers. And even if he doesn't, you have to trust that God has a good plan. Even if he doesn't answer those prayers, you have to trust that God is working in some way. And just give it up to him and surrender to him. Because God is our maker, God is our creator, he is the author of the world and of our salvation. And all we can do is trust that he has something great for us. And how do we know that? Because he promised it to us. And he showed it to us through Jesus Christ. So as we just close this time together, let us trust in our Lord. Trust that he is doing good work through us. And trust that he will bring the lost back to him. Because God is truly most satisfied when we enjoy him and enjoy his presence. God is doing this work. And may we believe and trust that he is doing it for us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you show us that the gospel is not dependent on us. That sharing the gospel is not dependent on us. That, Lord, you are in control. That, Lord, you have a greater plan You have a perfect plan. Sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes we don't understand. But Lord, give us the faith to trust that you are good. Because Lord, you have shown that you are good. You have shown it through your Son. Shown it through the work of salvation for us. Graciously giving us eternal life, even though we don't even deserve it. And God, you have promised these things to us, and you have shown us over and over again that you keep your promises. That you are unchanging God. You are a forever faithful God. And may we believe that as we live out the gospel, as we share the gospel in our lives, in our personal lives. In moments when we're discouraged, may we be encouraged by you, by knowing that you are a God who empowers us, who strengthens us. And as we pray to you, may we believe that you hear those prayers, that you will answer them in your timing. Lord God, a lot of the times we have our own idea of what things should be, of how we should live our lives. But Lord, may we confess and repent of those sinful desires, that sinful heart. Because Lord, you are in control of our lives. And may we surrender to you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.